Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Thank you. This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Tripit Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there.
I said maybe.
People, keep talking about love to one another. It's me again, 2 days in a row. That's unheard of, isn't it? We've got some very special guests coming in later in the show, but for now you've got to listen to my voice. I'm Oliver Dixon, of course, and we've got a very good show planned where we'll be reviewing a certain game. I'm not going to tell what the game is just yet until our guests come on the mic. As I said, 2 days in a row now, which is the first for me whilst being here at Sheffield Live. If you want to listen to yesterday's show, please visit the website and you'll find it under the Communities Live podcast, where we unfortunately said goodbye to the Lead Mill and we played a lot of good songs from artists who've performed over there and who've made the Lead Mill what it was for 45 years. And yeah, if you want to listen to it, as I say, please tune into the website. For now, though, I'm going to put you back into some more music. Saves you hearing my voice, I suppose. This one's more great guitaring, and I'm just going to leave you with it.
You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime, sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. In other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound way on down south. Guitar George, he knows all the chords. Mighty strictly rhythm, he doesn't want to make it cry or sing. If any no guitar is all he can afford, when he gets up under the lights to play his thing. Friday night.
with the Sultans, with the Sultans of Swing. Rock and roll. And the Sultans, yeah, the Sultans, they play Creole. Creole.
And that was Dire Straits with Sultans of Swing, one of my other favourite songs. We've got a very familiar voice here in the studio now.
Yeah, your old presenter, Chris and Ollie. How are you doing, Oliver?
I'm all right, thank you. It's good to see you again after 24 hours.
I know, it's too soon, I think. How are you doing, anyway?
I'm fine. I enjoyed the show yesterday, and thank you for helping along with that.
And we've got a new guest as well. We've got Aman. So, hello, Aman. How you doing?
Hello, guys. How you doing? My name is Aman Ahmed, and I'm not. Obviously, it's my first time here, so I'm not fully professional. But hopefully, you can get used to me. Pass it over to Chris now.
Thank you very much, Aman.
It's a pleasure having you in the studio here today.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. So,
we've got Abyssin, he's our new co-presenter joining us on the Communities Live. So, Oliver, what have you got for us today?
Well, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we've got a little game review going on today. And would you like to introduce which game we'll be talking about, or which franchise, I should say?
Yeah, and it's quite a long franchise. It's called Doom, and this one's called Doom the Dark Ages.
Brand new game.
And it's from Bethesda, also, and it's been made by ID Software. It's from a franchise which has spun about 30 years ago, I mean, gosh, 30 years ago.
About 32 years, I think.
It makes me feel old now, doesn't it?
It also had a film got made about it. It's had novels and all sorts in the last 30 years.
Well, we're not mentioning about the film because the film is not that great, let's just say that. But we can talk about the game, though. I mean, the game is... It's based on a space marine, and you're fighting all these monsters and zombies from like the forces of hell. And you got to fight. It's basically one man against an entire army of zombies, isn't it?
It is. That's in a nutshell. That's what the game's about.
And it's a great game as well. And if you played, if you like horror and action and sci-fi, then you'll love this game. And it's a prequel to the 2016 game as well.
It is, yes.
So it starts off with how he became Doomslayer, which we actually call him in the game. But I don't want to spoil too much because it will spoil it otherwise.
It will. It's only been out just shy of 2 months, I think. I've been playing it off and on. I've not got too far into the game just yet, so I can't give a full review, but from what I've played so far, the graphics are very, very impressive. The gameplay is very impressive. It's your typical, like, normal, very good quality Doom game, as we've seen over the years.
Yeah, it's it's running on the latest ID Tech engine, which is ID
High End.
Which is High End, yes. And I mean, graphics now is absolutely lifelike. You can easily mistake it for a film, I'd say.
You can. I mean, I've been comparing to sort of the older Doom games from like 1993, and the change to this franchise in terms of like gameplay, graphics, and all sorts, it's just incredible to see, and it's still going to be a lively franchise for years to come. I think Bethesda's got them under control, and long may it continue.
I mean, there's going to be some upcoming DLC which is coming out later, either at the end of the year or possibly early next year. More on that later on, but we're going to talk a little bit more about Doom later on in the show. Oliver, what's our next track?
Our next track is arguably the most famous Eurovision song to ever be produced. I think everyone knows what it is, but I'm going to let everybody listen to this anyways.
Yeah. Catholics on the shore, Chinese under martial law, rock and roll a cola wars, I can't take it anymore.
We didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, but when we are gone, will it still be on and on and on and on and on and on and on? We didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, but we need to light up the world of fire. We didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire.
Decided to play two songs instead there. We had Waterloo by ABBA and we also had Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. This next discussion we're going to have is about an upcoming film in a couple of weeks' time, and it's DC's new Superman film. And Chris and Iman, are you both excited for this film?
I am, but I'm also a bit sceptical as well, because, I mean... Let's just say the last couple of DC films were not very good. I'll just say that. I mean, we're talking about Shazam, Aquaman 2. I mean, Wonder Woman 1984. The cast was great. They had good casting, but I think it was the stories that let them down. Unfortunately,
yeah, they have an amazing cast in every film, but yeah. Storyline and the writing.
But I think there was warning signs after Batman versus Superman. I mean, that was the second film in the DC, in the Zack Snyder's universe.
Let's not forget that they're rebooting the whole universe, so everything might change. Course. It's not. I'm just hoping for a successful start and launch point. With it being James Gunn, I'm optimistic, but we're just going to have to wait and see.
So you're cautiously optimistic, then, Aman. And I want to say, Aman, I mean, what are you hoping to see in the next Superman film, then?
Just bringing it back to the roots. Obviously,
back to roots.
Crypto, you have, obviously, teasing the Justice Gang and the Justice League with, obviously, Guy Gardner and Hawkgirl and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just hoping that everything goes well, because obviously with the previous, regime,
yes,
nothing did go well.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. I don't really want them ruining such an iconic character like Superman, who's been around for the best part of 80 years now, comics and also in films and TV.
Saying that, do you think Superman is actually a hard character to adapt to the screen, would you say? Because, I mean, it's like nobody can actually kill him unless somebody's got a piece of kryptonite or something like that.
That's literally the only thing.
But, you've got a main villain who's like Lex Luthor, who's only human. I mean, he can't kill... He can't put a gun to him and then shoot him and he's going to end up dead, you know what I mean? Mm. So it's like, do you think he's actually too powerful?
I mean... Sorry.
Go ahead.
I mean, they make it difficult, but with James Gunn at the helms now, with obviously with his comic book knowledge and being a fan of Superman himself, and I think just DC Comics in general, I think there is a optimistic shot and a really decent shot of them doing it successfully, because obviously James Gunn is a fan of comics, which previous studio heads and people from other companies don't pay much attention to. And I'm not saying that Marvel don't. I'm saying they don't necessarily pay attention to it as much as they should do.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are parallels, which in superhero movies, you hope they do, but it's not always the case, is it?
Not really. I mean, James, for everybody who's listening, James Gunn is actually a director as well. I mean, he's directed Guardians of the Galaxy 1-3 for Marvel, and he's also directed The Suicide Squad. for DC. So, and I've got to say, the Suicide Squad for the DC by James Gunn is actually a good film.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it's been a while since I last watched it, but I thought it was a good film. But the Guardians of the Galaxy films I thoroughly enjoyed. That kind of made his... it made his name, really, and it showed how much of a great writer-director he is as well.
And you know what? We forgot to introduce our other guest as well, haven't we? Hi, Erica. How you doing?
Hello. I'm good. I didn't really need an introduction, but now that you've done it, here I am. I've never been on the radio. This is my first time.
It's the first time for everything.
So, but thank you for joining us, Erica, and it's been a pleasure meeting you, as on Aman as well. And
it's nice having a group around the table.
It is.
Like, everyone jumping in on discussions and everything, and listening to music together.
It's
my favourite part of being in the studio, actually.
Do you know what the great part about it is now, is that I've actually got somebody to talk to now? Because, I mean, the past year, I mean, it's been so lonely in the past year. It's so hard to make a show on your own. I mean, and when you've got nobody to talk to, it's such a long hour. And, I mean, I always used to do a music show, but now I could do something different, which is great. So it's great having a team here, so thank you for joining me today.
Would you like to just say how you can get in touch with Sheffield Live if you're interested in becoming a volunteer here, Chris?
Yes, we are currently looking for volunteers. I mean, whether you want to do a presenting role or a producing role or... anything behind the scenes, really. So, if you are interested, please get in touch at my email address at chrisandelly89@gmail.com. We also have our very own Commuters Live Facebook page, and we also have our very own Sheffield Live website as well. Again, you can get in touch with me at chrisandelly89@gmail.com. We have our very own Commuters Live Facebook page, and we also have our very own Sheffield Live website. So please get in touch.
Indeed, please do get in touch, as we are still looking for volunteers, as Chris said, and it'd be nice to have more conversations like we've had today with a group of people around the table and whichever topic you would like to speak to or talk about. So, yes, please get in touch. We're just going to go into more music now and going to leave you with one by Fleetwood Mac.
Ollie, you're so good.
Damn your love, damn your life.
Fleetwood Mac, The Chain there. If you're a Formula One fan, you may recognise that song, as it was the arguably the most famous song. Unfortunately, they don't use it anymore, of course, but if you're a Formula One fan, you'll recognise. But in general, it's one of the better Fleetwood Mac songs, isn't it?
And also, I don't know if you actually know this, it was also on a trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
And it was as well, yes.
It was.
We were just talking about James Gunn, if you missed it earlier, and there is another Marvel film coming out on the same day as Superman, and it's the new Fantastic Four film, starring the likes of Vanessa Kirby and Pedro Pascal.
So, I mean, I've seen the trailers for it, and I think it's going to be going... Is it going back to the 1960s, something
I think
like
so,
that?
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting take on how they're going to bring the Fantastic Four into the future. But it is on the multiverse, isn't it? So
will be, yes.
It is the multiverse storyline. And, I mean, we've got a brand new villain that's going to be ending the multiverse now. It was supposed to be Kang, the Conqueror. But now they've changed it to Doctor Doom, who is going to be played by Robert Downey Jr., which,
How are they going to do that one? I'll say that.
I'd love to see it. Because I was very surprised at the cast reveal.
Yeah.
When he was, and I was like, well, because he did Iron Man, of course. He made his name as Iron Man. He was a very good Iron Man, but what are they going to do with Doctor Doom?
I mean, I honestly thought the likes of Jared Leto, who was going to be at first for Doctor Doom. But when we mentioned Robert Downey Jr., I thought, really? Are they going to do, like, another variation of Tony Stark where he becomes evil? Who knows? I mean, you don't know, do we?
We'd have to wait and see when the picture comes out, because I can't imagine in my head what's going on.
To be honest with you, I know it's weird, but I kind of like it, because I'm just waiting for that scene where Tom Holland's Spider-Man goes, eh? Who is this? But all in all, I think we're just gonna have to see where it goes, and to be honest with you, I think I'm not optimistic about this one, but I hope it goes well for him, and we'll see where it goes.
I mean, the casting so far, as I mentioned briefly, it's a pretty impressive cast.
Yeah,
and they've got the tools to make it a great film, because the last Fantastic Four films going back 18 plus years ago, I think. I remember the other Fantastic Four films. It's an MCU film.
Do you think it's going to be convoluted, though? I mean, with too many cast members? Because, I mean, you've got, like, your Fantastic Four, you've got your Avengers, you've got the X-Men from 2002, you got the old, like, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, all the old cast members from the old X-Men films are coming in this film as well. I mean, we haven't heard anything about Hugh Jackman returning, but do you think it's going
to
be...
To be honest with you, I wouldn't rule it out. I think he is going to return.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Deadpool and Wolverine, I think there is a good chance he's going to return.
Sure. I mean, do you think there's going to be too many characters spoil the broth, if you get what I mean?
Well, it's been seen in films in the past where you've had such a star-studded cast, like so many great actors, but it never ends up working out as well as they expected it to be.
Yeah.
Because there's, as you said, too many spoil the broth. But
yeah.
I don't know this one. It could work, it could not.
I mean, it's going to be I think it's going to be around the 3-hour mark. 3-hour film.
It has to be.
And it's going
to
be a two-part as well. It's a two-part story.
Just like Avengers,
yeah.
Secret Wars.
So,
Secret Wars
and
Doomsday.
So it's going to start with Doomsday first and then Secret Wars after. So it's a two-part film, with both 1 year apart. And it's going to be a Christmas film as well. So it's going to be interesting, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But with Fantastic Four, it does come out the same day, I believe, as Superman comes out. So you'll have...
A few weeks later.
A few weeks later, okay. Apologies there. But you've got two superhero films within a few weeks of each other. We don't know which one's going to be more successful yet.
I think James Gunn said
Well, I hope they both do well. So there's no animosity between the studios, as some people like to believe.
I mean, you're gonna get your Marvel versus DC, no matter what. I mean, you're gonna get one who's gonna be against the other. But I think why not go and see them both? That's what I'm planning on doing.
That's
the plan. That's my plan as well. You know, go to see them both. It doesn't have to be on the same day. It could be different days, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
I know, I think a few people are intending to watch them on the same day, maybe like wait the weeks apart and see them on the same day. It wouldn't surprise me if I see people doing that.
That'd be expensive, though.
It'd be expensive, yeah. But it'd be like the new TikTok trend like we had with Oppenheimer and Barbie a couple of years ago, where they see them on the same day.
Well, I've just seen Oppenheimer. I've not seen the latest. I don't want to see Barbie, thank you very much. not for me.
No, me neither.
And I want to say, I mean, what's your favourite... when you go to the cinema, I mean, because there's so many different screens now. You've got your IMAX, you've got your Screen X, you've got 4DX. I mean, what do you go and see the film in?
Usually just like the normal standard.
Normal standard.
Sometimes I might go for 3D if I fancy it, but I've not done IMAX or 4DX just yet. That's something I will do in the future.
Well, 4DX, I mean, if you like, it's like a ride.
It's like roller coasters.
I wouldn't say roller coaster. It's more like, you know, one of those simulators where your seat shake, and if there's like water comes out,
like spray or something, yeah.
Smoke, and you also get smell. So it's like if you're in the jungle and you get that unpleasant smell.
You know what I would have loved to have seen in 4DX. Was Ryan Coogler's Sinners, because that movie is a genius. I don't know what Ryan Coogler did, but that movie is genius. I don't know what kind of potion he put into that, but that movie is absolutely genius.
You know, I've actually seen the film. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. It's probably me, but I don't actually get it. I think there's something. I might have to go back and watch it again and talk about it next time I see you. And then, because when I first watched it, I couldn't understand it. And we're coming near to the end of the show now, Oliver, aren't we?
We are, unfortunately. Yeah. It's been a great show, and it's been great talking to you, Chris, and talking to you, man. Thank you to Erica for coming in the studio as well. It's nice to have.
Thank you. I'd be more than happy to come back and you know.
We would definitely love to have
you guys again. We look forward to having your help here in the studio, man. And thank you for being here today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we'd definitely love to have you back. And please come back, and we'd love to have you to see what your ideas are and bring them to the table. And we'll see you again next time.
Well, thank you, Chris. And thank you, everybody, for listening to Communities Live this Thursday afternoon. I'll be back next week with more content. We're just going to end the show with a bit of Oasis. I know we played Oasis at the start, but their much-anticipated tour starts tomorrow in Cardiff. If you've got a ticket for any of their shows, enjoy yourselves. If not, like myself, I tried getting a ticket but couldn't. I'll probably enjoy listening and watching them in action again for the first time in a while, because I'm a big Oasis fan, but... Thank you again, everyone, for joining in the studio and listening at home. Until the next time.
And on the palm of her hand is a blister.